Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can take us on the go and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Football Friday. We got Scott Abraham joining us at 7 from ABC 7. Get some Commanders insight. What's going on with Brian Robinson if he's healthy enough to play on Sunday? Daryl Reuter covers the Browns for 92.3. The Fan in Cleveland joins us at 8:25. But as he does every Friday at this time, we'll talk to John Feinstein, bestselling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom, where they can now custom fit you for the new GT Metals from Titleist or the new Apex Irons from Callaway. Visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis to get your game ready for fall golf. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. Hey, John.
Good morning, and I'm here for the baseball report.
Yes.
Yes, you are.
That's a big one. Did you watch the entire game?
No, I was actually at a dinner party, believe it or not, and I didn't get to the game till the sixth inning. But the ninth inning was the whole game.
I know.
And I was stunned. I mean, I was stunned. I was just watching, saying, okay, they're going to lose 2-0, and this is what the Mets do, and the Brewers are a good team. And then all of a sudden, you know, they get two men on base, and Alonso, who hasn't had a hit since July, it feels like, hits it out, and there you go. They turn around and win the thing 4-2. I was just I don't get giddy very much at this point in my life, but I was giddy.
So, John, during the dinner party portion of the evening, how many times did you check your phone? Did you check in on the game at all, or were you just okay?
No, they understood.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when the dinner party was scheduled like a month or so ago, none of in fact, the woman who was hosting the dinner asked me if it would be a problem that it was Rosh Hashanah, and I said no, not at all. But the Mets playing the Brewers in Game 3 was a little bit of a problem, but we got through it.
So yeah, this is in your new neighborhood?
Yes, yes, actually.
Look at you making friends, circulating.
Yes. The party was thrown by Griff and Julie Aldridge. Griff is the basketball coach at Longwood.
Okay. Right. We've had him on the show before.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a welcome party for me.
Good.
Yeah, it was really nice. Everybody I've met here has been really, really nice. So it was fun. And I told my favorite Jewish story because I'm not a practicing Jew. I'm a heritage Jew. But when I was married to Mary, my first wife, and Danny was about 4 years old, Mary, who's Catholic, insisted that we celebrate both holidays at Christmas. I grew up with a Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were lighting candles one night for Hanukkah. And Mary turned to Danny, who was, I think, 4, and said, Danny, would you like to say a Hanukkah prayer? And Danny said, yeah, I'd really like to do that. And she said, well, go ahead. So he shut his eyes and he said, oh, God, thank you for inventing Christmas.
That's a good one. Solid for a 4-year-old, especially.
Yeah,
well done.
That's my favorite Hanukkah prayer to this day.
John, we were talking about the baseball game top segment. And Devin Williams, the closer for the Brewers, who's their best, you know, he's their best closer. He's their best reliever. Had gone like 13 consecutive save opportunities without giving up a run.
Yeah, I know.
Incredible.
I was not encouraged when the ninth inning started.
Yeah.
For that reason, because of Mets history. But that's the thing about postseason baseball. I mean, stuff happens.
It does.
I mean, look at the Orioles and the Royals. The Orioles scored one run in 2 games. And I feel bad for them because they've been a very good team the last 2 years. And still haven't won a playoff game, much less a playoff series. So, yeah, you're right. And that's why when I hear all these analytics people talking about this number, that number, I say, play baseball in every sport. Play football, whatever it is, and see what happens. Don't talk to me about analytics because if there's one thing Mike Wilbon and I agree on, it's how overrated analytics are.
How are you feeling about the Phillies series? I was looking up the regular season series. I think Phillies won 7 out of the 13, but Zach Wheeler goes Saturday night tomorrow in game 1, and he's obviously really, really good.
Really good ex-Met.
Yep.
But, you know, the Phillies should be favored. They've been sort of on a mission this year since they lost to the Diamondbacks in the LCS last year.
Right.
But, you know, the Mets are having one of those years. They've had 43 comeback wins. Mm. 43.
That seems insane.
That is insane.
I mean, that's basically half of their wins.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And a lot of them were like last night where they came from behind late. It wasn't like, you know, technically you fall behind 1-0 in the first inning and then you come back and win. It's a comeback win. But there have been some real comeback wins. And I don't think they're intimidated by the Phillies. Now, Wheeler's really good, obviously. But I don't think they're intimidated. I think they have a puncher's chance.
Hey, John, shifting over to college football, there's a really good story brewing in Annapolis. Yep. I mean, look, Navy.
I wrote a column about it this week.
I mean, Navy, they've
Horvath is good.
They put up 49, 38, 56, and 41. And Horvath, I think, has seven passing touchdowns, which that might be an entire season for passing touchdowns for Navy 10 years ago, and 8 rushing touchdowns.
Kid's good.
Yeah.
That's remarkable what they're doing.
He's averaging 10 yards a carry.
Yeah, well, against Memphis, which came in ranked 23rd in the country, he had 12 carries for 211 yards. Yeah. Think about that.
I know, it's unbelievable. Absurd. I mean, what was Memphis
doing?
Yeah,
and you know, he's easily the best quarterback they've had since Malcolm Perry in 2019, which is the last time they had a good season. They were 11-2 that year and won the CIC. Since then, the next 4 years, they were 16-30. And the biggest problem was the quarterback position. They couldn't find, you know, for years they had good quarterbacks who could mostly run but could pass just enough. Now, your point about Horvath is really important because he can really throw the ball.
Yep.
It was 14-3 last week against UAB with like 20 seconds left. And, you know, rather than run out the clock, they ran a pass play. They sent a guy deep, Mason Kent, and Horvath put the ball right on the money. I mean, hit him in stride. In the old days, I can't tell you how many times I've seen guys open like that because, you know, teams will put 8 in the box against Navy and somebody will get open deep and the ball will be underthrown, overthrown, won't get there. He put it right on the money. I mean, couldn't have thrown it any better.
I mean, they're scoring one less point per game than Alabama.
Yeah, no, they're averaging, I think, 46 points
per game.
Well, and Air Force is terrible. They've only scored 19, 7, and 3 in the last 3 games.
Right.
That's going to be a win for Navy.
Lost to a winless Wyoming team on Saturday.
Correct.
And that kind of stuff's unheard of at Air Force. I mean, Air Force, Troy Calhoun's been the coach for 17 years. He's averaged almost 9 wins a year. Mm. And they're always good. And if you're Navy, you got to go into that game expecting you're going to get Air Force's best shot because they're not going to win the conference. They're going to struggle to get to bowl eligibility. They're 1-3. So the only thing left for them really is the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Mm-hmm. And that's a big deal if you win it at Army, Navy, or Air Force. And they can, you know, sort of turn their season around with a win. And they're always tough at home. Navy hasn't won there since 2012. But you're right. Navy's the better team,
yes,
which is rare for me to say in a Navy Air Force matchup. But that doesn't mean you win. You got to go in and win and do your job on the road. And so far, they've been great. And Horvath has been the biggest difference between the last 4 years and this year.
John, I got to ask you about the Commanders, 3-1, ridiculous start. I mean, Jaden's playing at a level that, you know, even his biggest supporters, I think, have to be a little surprised.
Yeah.
So impressive, his poise, everything. They still have some holes. The defense is clear they can't stop the run. Offensive line, last week, graded number one in the league by some analysts.
33rd team.
Yeah, so what is your take? Is this for real, or is it still too early to tell?
Well, I thought before the season, I think I told you guys that I thought Jaden Daniels was the real deal. And I heard a stat this week that I hadn't realized. He played 55 college football games. And obviously the NFL is different than college football, but he's played a lot of high-pressure games. He's used to having to do things in the pocket. He can run. I think this is for real, and especially in the NFC East where the Cowboys look pretty terrible. The Eagles – I'm still not sold on, and the Giants are awful. So I think there's a good chance for them to win the division. I didn't say that before the season. I thought they could contend. I thought there were question marks about Dallas and Philly. The question marks have gotten larger, and in contrast, the Commanders have answered a lot of questions, and it's still a long way to go. They should beat the Browns. I mean, the Browns are awful.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to 4-1, and with a quarterback who's what's he completing, 80% of his passes?
Yes.
Yep. Some stupid number like that?
Him, he's literally setting records.
Yeah, well, I don't. Again, he's just good. He's really good, and he doesn't. You know, it's interesting because I was talking this week to Brian Newberry about Blake Horvath, and I said, "Did you expect him to be this good this fast?" And he said, "No." He said, "Because when he did play last year, he was his words a nervous Nelly on the field." And he said, "Now he's completely calm."
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jaden Daniels looks completely calm to me. I don't see any nerves in him, and that, you know, he's 23 years old. He's more mature than a lot of quarterbacks who come into the league. And now they have not played a very difficult schedule so far. But you know, I thought they'd go into Seattle and win. I didn't think they'd win 42-14.
Right.
Well, like you said, they haven't played a tough schedule, and it's impossible to continue on 80% completion.
Yeah, that's not going to continue.
And nobody does that.
Right. So
and they're not going to go games without punting.
I mean, Deshaun Watson's obviously not the Deshaun Watson of, you know, 5 years ago in Houston when he was really good. But he's a different player physically and mentally.
For all his problems, right?
Yeah, but I think Cleveland's defense will pose a little bit of a threat. And I don't think that Washington's going to roll up 40 points. I'm not saying they're not going to win. I think they will win, but I think it's going to be a tougher matchup.
Yeah. Well, but again, we didn't expect them to roll up 40 points in Seattle. Seattle's a pretty good team, and they just kicked their butt, you know.
No, not Seattle. Arizona.
You mean Arizona?
Arizona. I'm sorry. My bad. Yeah.
Right.
Arizona has played reasonably well going in there. I don't know why I thought it was Seattle in my brain. Mm. But Seattle is a good team, by the way. But, you know, they kicked their butt, fell behind 7-0, and then just rolled.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you, Jason, that the Browns won't roll over because they have a decent defense. Not decent defense, a good defense. But I still expect the Commanders to win. I really think they're going to be 4-1.
What, John, I'm wondering, like a journalist perspective, what do you make of this Christine Brennan WNBA beef going on right now?
Well, it's a bad question to ask me because, you know, Brennan and I don't get along. And she loves to do things to call attention to herself. That's one of her strengths. That being said, the notion of taking away her credential is ridiculous. I mean, you know, if you don't like one of the things people forget, if you don't like a question, you don't have to answer it.
Yeah.
You can just say, I don't want to answer that question. No comment, whatever, you know, or give some kind of pristine answer. No pun intended there. But you know, taking that shows you that the WNBA still has a ways to go to be a full fledged, you know, professional league like the NBA. I mean, you think David Stern would allow something like this? Are you kidding me? So my answer is, it's typical Christine to call attention to herself. But on the other
hand, when's the last time you spoke with Christine?
Oh, God.
Years?
Years. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Years. Years and years. we would pass in the hallway at the Masters. Hello, hello.
Okay.
Was there one incident that broke you guys?
Well, there was one, yes, but there were a series of incidents over the years, but there was one that sort of put an end to it for me. And it had to do with National Public Radio when we were both working there, and you know, she basically tried to put a knife in my back with the bosses, and
oof.
I don't forgive things like that.
Oof.
Or as Red Auerbach would say, I might forgive, but I don't forget.
Right. You know what? You can hold a grudge. Yeah, yeah. I like that, John. I like that about you.
I'd ask you more about that story, but it sounds like it would take for a while to explain.
It would take a while, yeah. And it's inside baseball. It's not the kind of thing that your listeners should have to listen to.
I got you.
They have better things to do with their day.
All right, John. We'll go out on that high note.
Let's talk about the fact that hockey season starts next week.
Soon.
I mean, right around the corner. I just can't believe it.
Beautiful. And just break up the Mets.
That's right. Wow. Break up the Mets. We'll see what happens against Philly. Yeah,
well, I'm thrilled that this week was one of the greatest weeks in Mets history. They had to win a game in Atlanta in that doubleheader to get into the playoffs. And then they, you know, blew a lead in game two where they were behind in the ninth inning of game three, and they somehow found a way to win. And I hope that this makes it harder for them to not re-sign Alonso. They need Alonso. He's the heart and soul of the team. Lindor had a great year. Lindor was the MVP, but they need Pete Alonso.
All right, John, we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, John. Right, appreciate it.
Have a good weekend. You go too. Mids.
All right.
Best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein, brought to you by Golfdom, where they can custom fit your new GT medals from Titleist or the new Apex irons from Callaway today. Visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis to get your game ready for fall golf. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. It is a Football Friday on the Fan. Coming up next, we'll get the Cleveland perspective from Daryl Ryder, covers the Browns for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. That's here on the Junk.
You sit in traffic now. But later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV on a Football Friday. Scott Abraham from ABC 7 will join us coming up at 9 o'clock as we talk Commanders-Browns, but join us to give us the Cleveland perspective. You can listen to him on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. It's Daryl Ryder. What's up, Daryl?
How you guys doing?
Thanks for joining us, man. I'm looking at your Twitter. It's at Right or Wrong Fan. It did make me chuckle that you're doing the Bart Simpson thing where you're just repeating, I will not compare Baker Mayfield's stats to the Browns' offense. And you repeat it four times in the tweet. I'm sure you're not the only one. I'm sure a lot of fans in Cleveland are doing the same thing. But look, sometimes guys just need a change of scenery. It wasn't working there for Baker. It wasn't working on for either party. So he had to depart, and he's resurrected his career in Tampa Bay. But I'm sure there's still some scars there on the fan base for not having him there.
Oh, every week that he goes out and he throws for three or more touchdowns, the wound gets a nice, healthy dose of salt poured in it. But you're absolutely right. It really, I think both sides in that instance a couple years ago needed a change of scenery. Baker Mayfield is at his best when he's the underdog. He wasn't the underdog with the Browns. He's the number one pick in the draft. You can't say he's an underdog there, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously, he had a season derailed by injury, and then he comes back and just things aren't working out. The whole relationship with Odell Beckham Jr. blew up, and the GM had to deal with that, and Odell goes on and wins the Super Bowl. And so, yeah, Baker hadn't been, playing all that great either. So he took advantage of his opportunity. He got knocked down a couple of pegs, as I like to say, being traded to Carolina. We all know what a dumpster fire that franchise is. Ends up in Los Angeles for a cup of coffee before the ultimate underdog, and that's where he had to go to Tampa Bay and replace the greatest to ever do it in Tom Brady. So, I get why Browns fans lean on that, especially considering how underwhelming Deshaun Watson has been since getting here. But the reality is I just don't feel like that the Baker Mayfield the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have right now is the same Baker Mayfield that would have been here with the Cleveland Browns had he.
Probably not, yeah. All right, so give us an update on the Deshaun Watson contract. I know it was all 5 years, 230, all coming to him. And I know he's got all the off the field stuff going on, and there was hope by Browns fans that they could get rid of him and not have to pay him, but I don't think that's going to happen. So give us an update on that contract. When is it up? And do you think the team would just suck it up, draft somebody to sit behind Watson until his contract's up?
Well, I'll answer the second part first. Yes, I do think that they, if this season does not go well, and obviously at 1-3, and it's not going well,
right,
with the offense near the bottom of just about every ranking that matters, then yeah, I could see them drafting and developing someone behind Watson for when that contract expires. They've got two more years after this one on that deal. As you mentioned, it is fully guaranteed. As far as the off-the-field stuff, my understanding is that there are no more protections should he receive any further league discipline. So if he does get suspended again because of previous off-the-field behavior, then the Browns potentially, and the key word is potentially because I don't know all the fine print that's in that contract, and my understanding is there's a lot of fine print in that contract. You know, potentially maybe they could get out of it early. But again, the only way that gets triggered is if he does indeed receive more discipline from the league office. And obviously the league office currently is investigating the latest allegation made against him.
So, Daryl, I know a lot of things have happened and it's been 4 years. But if you look at his last season with the Houston Texans, he was easily a top five quarterback in the league. When you watch him now, because we don't get to see him but highlights, when you watch him now, what's going on? Is he lost athleticism? Is he inaccurate? Does he not read defenses well anymore? What's going on with his game?
I think the internal clock between his years is still playing catch up because we're seeing glimpses of that athleticism, and frankly, we have to because the offensive line for the Browns right now is in shambles. But we're seeing that escapability that he had in Houston. Now, it was a big talking point a couple of weeks ago. He was asked about that, you know, scrambling and running, and could he be the spark in the running game? And that's when he had that quote about, I'm not a running back. They paid me to come here and throw the football and be a quarterback and things like that. But, you know, you guys see it down there with the youngster you have, Jaden Daniels, who's doing it with his feet. He's got over 200 yards rushing, but, you know, four rushing touchdowns. He's thrown for three, you know, completing 82% of his passes. I think Browns fans would cut off their right arm, maybe their left one too. Maybe even give a leg if they could get a quarterback with a completion percentage above 65% at this point. I feel like that all this time off that he has had in these recent seasons has really messed up that timing clock in his head, and also too, just it just feels like there's a complete disconnection between him and some of his receivers at times.
Yeah. Obviously, Nick Chubb had that serious injury. I know he's throwing out those cryptic tweets, you know, how long do I have to wait? He has been, you can correct me if I'm wrong, he has been released from the IR. You could update us.
Practice.
You can update us on how much he's practicing. I would put money on it that he's not going to play here in Washington on Sunday. But eventually he's going to come back and make your team better. But give us an update on him.
Yeah, so he will not play on Sunday. If he does, it'll be the greatest miracle ever. He wasn't on IR. They put him on PUP.
PUP, I'm sorry.
So they opened that window. They opened the window. He began practicing on Wednesday. They have 21 days to actually activate him. And otherwise, then he does have to miss the season. He looks good. In the 15, 20 minutes, as you know, we don't get to see a lot in practices these days from teams. But, you know, doing the drills and the individual periods that we do get to see, he looks great. I mean, just seeing number 24 on the field is great. But he looks as big as ever and as strong as ever and whatever. My only concern about him is he's had that left knee rebuilt now twice. And we're not talking like his AC, you know, we're not talking a singular ligament tear that he's had a repair. I mean, he's had the ACL, the MCL, the meniscus, the capsule, like the whole knee in there has had to be rebuilt twice. But I'll say this, if there's anybody that can come back from this thing and be the player that he was before, it's Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb, from my standpoint, he's the greatest running back the Browns have had since Jim Brown. He really is. He's just that good. So he's a couple of weeks away, though. So you guys can breathe easy in Washington. you don't have to deal with him on Sunday.
Nice. It'll be just Jerome Ford.
We're joined by Daryl Ryder, covers the Browns for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. So how much of the offensive woes can be tied back to that offensive line for the Cleveland Browns? We know that Wills and Conklin, they've missed time at tackles, Conklin trying to come back from a major injury, and now the interior of your line is banged up too with Wyatt Teller. Give us the skinny on that offensive line heading into Sunday.
It's not great. I've seen chairs provide more resistance than some of these guys that have been out there filling in. Look, it's, Ethan Posick, their center's been banged up. He came back to practice yesterday, so hopefully he's able to go. Zach Zinter replaced Wyatt Teller. DeJuan Jones has really struggled on the right side of the line. I don't know why they just don't plant a tight end next to him on every single play. And then on the left side, it's been James Hudson filling in for Jed Wills. We've been on, I call it the Jack and Jed watch. We are in week 5 of the Jack and Jed watch. Jed came back for about a half of football and he got hurt again. So, they had a rash of injuries last year that required these guys to get surgery. That's Jack, Jed, and DeJuan Jones. They all had to have surgeries. Hopefully they got a group discount, but those injuries are still problematic for this team early in the season right now. And so it's been a bit of a makeshift offensive line. They got the rookie Zach Zinner. As I mentioned, he's in for Teller. If Posick can't go, then Nick Harris steps in. But, yeah, I mean, really the only stable guy in that front five is who I believe to be a future Hall of Famer, Joel Bitonio, at left guard. And they even had a game a couple weeks ago where it got so bad they ran out of bodies. They had to kick him out to left tackle.
So let's talk about your defense. Talk about Myles Garrett a little bit. What we can expect, how does the defense match up against a surprising Commanders offense? You guys haven't really played a murderer's row, but they're playing, you guys aren't giving up a ton of points. And, my producer tells me Myles Garrett's all banged up, and yet he still comes out there and produces.
Yeah, he's on a little bit of a pitch count right now. He's dealing with multiple injuries. He's got an issue with his feet that goes back to his childhood. And so that's kind of been acting up on him. He is sitting between 1 and 2 practices out per week to get treatment and just get him ready to at least be available in some capacity on Sundays. A couple weeks ago, he was basically on the field for third downs only. The good news there, at least from a Browns perspective, maybe not so much from a Commander's perspective, the workload is increasing for Miles. He had 2 sacks last week. He's in my view, I think, the most dominant pass rusher in the game because he is held literally on every single play, and he can't draw a flag to save his life. He gets what I like to call the LeBron James treatment. You can tackle him, and they're still not going to throw the flag. And believe me, teams have tackled him. There is film of this. And the Browns are a little frustrated by that, but obviously they can't speak publicly about it. They like how much money they make. They don't want to be making any donations to the Roger Goodell Retirement Fund. But, yeah, Garrett is a little banked up. The problem for the Browns defense right now, they were one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in the NFL during the regular season last year, but they're not so much this year. It's been a tremendous drop-off. It's been tackling. That's their biggest problem. Also, too, guys in the secondary can't catch footballs. They need to spend some time with wide receivers. They dropped, I'd say, almost as many interceptions as Browns wide receivers have dropped Deshaun Watson passes. So tackling and creating turnovers, if they can turn those two things around Sunday at Washington, I think the Browns got a chance of upsetting the Commanders. But if they don't do those things, I think Jaden Daniels is going to continue doing what he's been doing, and that's just carving people up.
Daryl, good news for the Browns. At least their schedule over the next month is soft and squishy. I'm kidding.
Yeah, okay. It was soft and squishy to start this season, too. It's gone extremely well, let me tell you.
They're at the Commanders this weekend. Then they have to go back to the Eagles coming off a bye next weekend. And then home dates against the Bengals and the Ravens, both in division. So the next month is challenging for the Browns, to say the least.
Yeah. Well, if the Browns come home from Washington 1-4, Andrew Berry can begin the fire sale. There's no coming back from that when I look right. at the schedule. Because you mentioned that stretch. That's not even the stretch I'm worried about. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about the stretch coming out of the bye, starting with the Saints, who, by the way, are, I think, a lot better than a lot of teams thought they would be. You know, you got Pittsburgh in there twice. The Chiefs come to town. They got to deal with the Bengals. Okay, Miami, you know, we'll see if Tua is available for that. And then, of course, they have to end their season with the Ravens. The moral of the story is the playoff hopes that Browns fans had for this particular football team this year and getting back. We are a month into the season, and after every game, we're checking where the Browns would be drafted. So good times are here again in Cleveland.
We're familiar with that tune. We've played that tune many times.
Yeah. Oh, we are so back in Cleveland. The publications are mocking quarterbacks to the Browns. The fans are blaming the negative media for the team not doing well on the field. I mean, we are just so back in Cleveland, Ohio when it comes to Browns football, you know? The whole playoff thing, the Joe Flacco thing, the offense looking like a legit NFL offense with Joe Flacco, it was nice while it lasted.
Jeez. Well, I think it's going to continue on Sunday. I think Washington gets the win. I don't know what you're picking, but yeah, give us a pick. Give us a prediction on the game.
I do think that the Commanders are going to win. The only way the Commanders don't win is if Jaden Daniels finally starts to look like the rookie quarterback that he is. But, you know, I've seen what this defense has done. Really, to me, the secret to him, they got to find a way to knock this kid off schedule. The problem is he gets the ball out quickly. He doesn't hang on to it like mm-hmm. most rookies do. And he's willing to take the checkdowns and the dink and dunk that whatever the defense gives him. So if they can get Jaden out of his rhythm in that fashion, Brown's got a shot. And if there's one guy to do it or be able to do it, it is Myles Garrett. But you guys should be really happy down there in Washington. It looks like you guys finally have a franchise quarterback. Meanwhile, the Browns
still
waiting for the franchise quarterback to prove himself to be a franchise.
Well, you only got two more years of that nonsense. And then maybe one of those guys will be drafted like in the next couple of years, and you can start looking forward to that.
They drafted quarterbacks for 30 years here.
Yeah, I know.
We've been there.
They're going to be able to draft a quarterback.
You're probably right.
We've been there. It's hard.
All right, Daryl, appreciate the time.
You bet. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks,
Daryl,
man.
Daryl Ryder covers the Browns for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. All right, Metallica fans, going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets. Mm-hmm. Actually, we have two pair.
Ooh, very good.
Two pair to give away. Cakes gives Valdez the tunes. He puts them together. Mm-hmm. You name the tune, you can win the Metallica tickets. We'll do that next. So call in now at 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. That's next here on the Junkies. All right, we got all the metalheads lined up.
These are my people, JP.
800-636-1067. We've got two chances to win tickets to go see Metallica.
Mm-hmm. They come to Northwest Stadium, May 2025. May 28th, I believe, is the date of the event. Yes,
tickets are on sale now.
Yep.
Yes, Wednesday, May 28th.
That's courtesy of Live Nation.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get to the first Metallica tune.
Well, let me go to Joe first, right? Let me go to
the. Gotta get his background.
Joe?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, buddy. Joe, what's your deal? Give us your bona fides for being a Metallica guy.
Yeah, I went out to Mandalay Bay, saw them there, first concert back in RFK in July with Guns N' Roses and Faith No More.
That's going pretty far back, I think.
So how many total times have you seen them?
I think four times. I saw them at the USA Arena way back, and then I think there's like another show that I had in there.
Okay.
So really want to go see Metallica this time.
USA Arena. That's a while back.
That's a blast from the past, which we love.
Hmm.
You know what? I've got a good vibe on him.
All right.
All right.
Here we go.
Here we go. Do you know that tune?
Such a good one. So good.
It is not Master Puppets.
No, sorry. Nice try.
Good try, Joe.
But you missed, sir.
All right. JP, is that your computer? Let's go to Jason in Rockville. Hey, Jason.
What's up, boys?
You die hard, Jason?
Scale to 1 to 10. How big of a fan are you?
I would say probably a 9. I saw him at the Injustice for All tour That, long time ago.
Very
here
good.
At the Cap Center.
Okay.
Yep. I'm ready to see him again. Let's do this.
All
perfect.
Right. Got any tattoos?
No. Not playing that game.
Okay.
Nope.
All right.
Is it Blackened?
It is not Blackened. Incorrect.
Was that good a good try, Jason. Is that a good guess? Try.
Not bad.
Does it sound a little bit like
Blackened's
that?
A good tune as well. But I think Blackened is almost a little too mainstream to play for this game.
Mm. Sam?
Sammy.
Sam and Fairfax.
Yeah, here I am.
Hey, bud, you a longtime fan? Longtime Metallica guy?
Yeah, I mean, since I'm a kid, I'm in my 30s, so I can't have said I've gone to Injustice for All shows, but... I have seen him live.
All right.
He's young. Is he going to know?
Okay.
Is he going to know a deep cut?
I mean, if he knows their catalog, I mean, he should have a good shot at it.
No,
Maybe he can bring his kid.
Exactly.
Bring his kid along to the show too.
Yeah, bring your son.
Explain it again for him, Valdez.
Is that My Friend of Misery?
It is not.
Is that a good
it is not My Friend of Misery.
Not great.
No.
Is this that he was the third
guesser,
right?
I didn't have
guesser,
a good vibe.
Right?
Yeah.
Right, so we got one more guess on this song, and then we'll move to a new tune.
All right. Let's go to Kelly Waldorf. Hey, Kelly.
What's up, fellas?
Big fan?
I'll give myself a 6 out of 10, but my son, who's 7, started getting into Metallica because of Fortnite and was hoping I could win some tickets to take him to it.
You're a 6 out of 10.
But the Dwarf has to be chock full of Metallica fans, I would think.
If it's the same song, fellas, not looking good.
Do we
play it for him and waste the time?
Yeah, play it for him again.
He's grasping.
That is Good Luck to the Next Caller.
Okay, so that song, nobody guessed it. That's Damage Incorporated off of Master of Puppets. That song was released when I was a wee little lad. I was 15 years old, March of 1986.
All right.
So that goes way back.
Was our guy Johnny Park the guy who first introduced you to this type of music?
He is, yes. He was my gateway drug into rock and metal.
Gotcha.
Love that dude.
All right, so here's a new one now, right?
Yes,
got
correct.
A new song.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Scott in Fairfax. Hey, Scott.
What's up?
Hey, buddy. Scott, hopefully you're a bigger fan than those other guys.
Scott, did you know that last tune?
No, I was going to guess it wrong, so
okay.
That's a good thing.
All right, you got lucky.
All right. You sound like a hillbilly, though, so you might be good.
Yeah, let's go.
He's ready. He's ready for it. All right, this is song number two.
Oh, Whiplash?
It is not Whiplash. Not a bad guess, but that is incorrect.
Heard the lyric, I don't know, which is what the callers keep saying over and over again.
There's been a lot of that from the callers today.
All right, John in Ashburn. Hey, John.
Hey.
Same song for you. Hopefully you do better.
Here we go, Johnny.
Let's hear it. Man, I'm drawing a blank.
You even got some lyrics in there.
Yeah, there's a few in there.
Is that the first time that we've played a few lyrics? It might be, no?
No, there have been lyrics in some of the other tunes that we played previously.
John, Kicks, you don't have a guess?
Kicks is finding deeper and deeper
cuts. I just don't know.
Well, these are
we want real Metallica fans to win the tickets.
Yeah.
We don't want just the greedy prize pigs.
Jim in Fairfax. We're killing in Fairfax today. Hey, Jim.
Hey, boys.
Jim, you a big fan? Big Metallica guy?
Pretty big fan.
Yeah. Hey, how many concerts you've
been
to?
Pretty big.
Been to 2 concerts.
2, all right.
Last one was in Baltimore.
Okay.
All right, drove all the way out to Baltimore. That was heroic of you.
Fairfax to Baltimore, that makes him a hero.
All right, play it, Valdez.
Oh, boys, I don't know that one.
Man, it's tough today.
Cake, sorry, do you know these off the top of your head, or are these songs that you're digging into to find?
I know at least two of these three today off the top of my head. But, I mean, I've been listening to the band for 30-plus years.
Would you put yourself as a 10 out of 10 Metallica fan?
I don't know if I get 10 out of 10 status, but I would say at least 8.5.
All right.
Somewhere in that range.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Ace at Fredericksburg. Last shot at this one. Hey, Ace.
What's up, boys?
Are you a big fan? You sound young.
I'm 47, and yes, I'm a big fan.
Okay, well, a little older than I thought.
Got a good feeling about
Ace. Did you know the first song we played?
Yes.
You did? Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Well, that's encouraging.
So easy to claim that when you're not actually on
believe
the phone.
Him. I believe him. All right, here we go.
Damage Incorporated.
Do you know it?
Yeah, that's Trapped Under Ice.
Wow.
He wins.
You win.
Trapped Under Ice is the tune. You win. You got two tickets to Metallica M72 Tour with special guests Pantera and Suicidal Tendencies as the openers Wednesday, May 28th at Northwest Stadium. Tickets are available right now. Those tickets are courtesy of Live Nation.
I had a good vibe on them.
Very good.
I got to
say. We have another pair that we'll give away later in the show.
EP, your lyrics are, I don't know how to live through this hell. Woken up, I'm still locked in this shell.
It's pretty good.
I got to tell you, my daughter will be going to the show at Lane Stadium in Blacksburg on May 8th.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
She's going to last like two songs. She's going to want to stay for, they're going to play Enter Sandman, the very 100%. Last song, right? So if she wants to hear that, she's got to stay for, 90 minutes of listening to that.
90? You think they're going to play 90 minutes?
2 hours?
Yeah.
All right, 2 hours, whatever.
2 hours minimum.
So, but is she going to last 2 hours listening to that type of stuff?
I don't know.
Well, but they'll play Unforgiven. They'll play the more mainstream.
Yeah,
they'll
make a couple.
They'll shake it up.
For the most part.
Most of them are going to be like that.
Yeah, it's going
to be fantastic. It's going to be amazing.
It won't be fantastic for her.
She's going to have a great time.
Yeah, okay.
Even if she doesn't know a lot of their catalog, which clearly she doesn't.
She doesn't know 99.9% of it.
She'll still have a good time. I am personally guaranteeing her a good time at her first and probably only Metallica show that she'll ever attend.
Probably.
She'll be there just to hang out. She doesn't care.
Gonna be so loud.
You think she's not gonna have a good time when she has 10 Trulies, when she's pouring those into her face?
Trulies, Surfsides.
Surfsides. My bad. Surfsides. Of course, that should have been. You know, yes. What am I doing?
That's, good company man.
Yeah. Surfsides. Surfsides. We don't want those pesky bubbles.
Right. No bubbles, no troubles.
There you go. There you have it.
All right. Do we have Scott Abraham coming up next?
We do.
We get Scott's take on the 3-1 Commanders. It should have a huge turnout. Do we have official numbers
I've not
yet?
Heard about a sellout yet. I'm shocked, kind of shocked by that.
Right.
I would have thought I would have heard that by now.
Let's get Scotty's report on some of the injured guys, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like B-Rob and Eckler.
It's coming up next on a Football Friday here on The Fan.